Warning, the following podcast may prove to be informative and educational, but it is guaranteed to be entertaining. Welcome to Trivial Warfare, the podcast that takes the pub quiz out of the pub and brings it home to you. Now here's your host, Jonathan Oakes.
Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of Trivial Warfare. We are the podcast that takes the pub quiz out of the pub and brings it home to you. My name's Jonathan, and I am here today with Ben. Hello, Ben.
Hey, how's it going, Jonathan?
Wonderful.
Good.
I am here with Carmella.
Hello, boys.
Hello, Carmella. And for the first time in what feels like a really long time, I am here with Mark. Hello, Mark.
Hey guys, how are you?
Man, it's good to see you, man.
It's been a while. It has too long.
It's been a while. It's like 40 episodes ago. It's been almost a year, it feels like.
No.
It was before the tournament, wasn't it?
No, it was after the tournament.
It was after the tournament?
Yeah, one time after the tournament.
All right. Yeah. I'll forgive you for that. Mm-hmm. So now you've been keeping busy. The last time you were here, you were telling us all about being an extra on the Baywatch movie. And I know that's coming out next year sometime in spring, right?
Yep, May, right before when the summer blockbusters come out.
So I can't wait to see that, not because I want to look at Baywatch, obviously.
Well, sure,
maybe
you do.
Maybe
of
a little.
Course. You do a little bit.
Maybe a little. But I want to see Mark. But Mark, you've been doing other things now. Since that, you've kind of started doing this as a hobby almost.
Yeah. Yes, I have.
So what's going on? What have you been involved in?
I've been in a couple of TV shows. Brockmire, starring Hank Azaria and Amanda Peet. It's going to be on Netflix sometime early in 2017. He's a alcoholic, retired baseball announcer and comes back. What else? Underground, a show called Underground. They film in Savannah. It takes place pre-Civil War. It's about a group of runaway slaves that go off, and it's like action-adventure kind of thing.
Oh, okay.
With a movie called Coup d'Etat with Michael Caine and Katie Holmes.
Michael Caine?
Yes. And, and Odea Rush, she was in Goosebumps. That was pretty sweet. It was an overnight shoot, and we got to go like storm the front yard of somebody's house in the neighborhood and pull a gun out.
Oh, did you really?
Yeah, you got to hold a gun to the lead actress's head.
Oh my goodness.
It was pretty sweet. It was intense.
Was that now, that was a TV show or that was a movie?
That's going to be a movie.
That's a movie. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Logan Lucky with Channing Tatum.
You got to take your shirt off?
2 days with that. No, I would have, but it would have embarrassed him. It would have made him look so bad.
All right.
Because I've got a lot and he doesn't have any. Apparently, you need like a washboard ab to turn the chicks, whatever. But I did 2 days with that. He was pretty cool. And I just finished something up working 3 days recently that I can't talk about.
Oh.
It's super tight. As soon as you go on the property, they take your phones and you don't get them back until you actually leave the grounds.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. That's intense.
It's been busy.
This has turned into a hobby essentially for you, hasn't it?
It has. I turn down 2 or 3 offers every week though because I'm already out of school days. My
you
sick
are
days.
Lying.
I swear to God. Coming in just now, I had an offer to work on something in Ocala, but it was just a little thing.
Dude, that is so freaking cool, man.
We'll be sitting at dinner with the boys out somewhere, like at Chili's or whatever. My phone will ring, and it'll be a casting director asking if I can come back and work for a couple more days. And I'm like, sorry.
You must be like the perfect size or the perfect – you're Joe Blow American, yeah. Right?
You're the everyman?
You're the everyman.
Exactly. I'm the perfect guy that you need to blur out in the background of every scene.
You're like the media – your TV everyman. Because they wouldn't pick like an unattractive person to do this stuff, right?
No, well, Mark's a good looking guy.
Yes, that's exactly what I'm saying.
Like, it's like, no, really.
Yeah, no, go.
Go on.
Yes.
Right.
He's a pretty everyman.
Well, pretty awesome. I'm excited for you. I get pumped up every time I hear you've done something new. So congratulations on that.
Well, thank you. It's a lot of fun. You get to meet some cool people.
Absolutely. You also get to meet some cool people here. So that's not so bad either.
Well, that was a good segue.
You like that?
I like that.
All right. Well, guys, I think it is time to warm it up, Chris.
Warm it up, Chris.
I'm about to
warm it up, Chris.
That's what I was born into.
And today, because Chris isn't here, I'm going to play the role of Chris.
All right.
You need to be shorter.
And have less hair.
Wow.
That's I'm not saying
mean.
Anything.
And nicer?
Oh, so shorter wasn't mean?
Well, that's...
It's an equal level of mean.
It's just Chris is shorter than Jonathan.
I would need to be nicer. I would need to be more thoughtful.
It's true.
Yeah.
I plead the fifth.
Yes.
More altruistic.
Yeah. Oh, all kinds of good qualities. Chris has got great qualities that I have nothing to do with. All right, guys. So I have a list. This is from Amy Ningen. Hey, Amy sent in a list of ice cream flavors.
Ooh.
Okay. Two major ice cream companies that make these flavors are either Baskin-Robbins or Ben & Jerry's. So I'm going to read the ice cream flavor, and you have to pick. Is it a Ben & Jerry's flavor or a Baskin-Robbins flavor? Make sense?
All right. Yep. Okay.
Mm-hmm. All right. We will start with Mark, and we'll go around. Your first flavor, Beetle Nut.
If you say it three times, does anything appear?
Paul McCartney, and you don't want to see what he's doing.
Yeah. I'm going to... No.
Seriously.
I'm going to say Ben & Jerry's.
Baskin-Robbins.
Ah,
oh, boo. All right. Number two. New York Super Fudge Chunk.
That's Ben & Jerry's.
Correct answer is Ben & Jerry's. Yeah. Good job, Carmella.
Thanks.
Green Monster Mint.
I'll go with Baskin-Robbins.
Correct answer is Baskin-Robbins. Screw you, Baskin-Robbins. Green Monster. Get out of here with that. That noise. Did you have any of that when you were up in Boston recently?
No, I did not.
No?
Okay. I'm lactose intolerant, so. Well, lactose.
Yeah, but it's not made with ice cream. It's made with Monster, obviously.
Oh, well, I definitely didn't want anything in that case.
We had Beetle Nut earlier.
Yeah.
Baseball Nut.
Okay, clearly I'm going to have to go with Baskin-Robbins.
Correct answer is Baskin-Robbins.
All right.
They did it to celebrate the move of the Dodgers from L.A. to Brooklyn.
Hmm.
That's when they did that one.
So basically, if it ends in nut, it's a Baskin-Robbins flavor?
Kind of, sort of, I guess.
And are these like the stepchildren to the 31 flavors that they have? Because these is clearly not
31.5.
Well, maybe, yeah, like, exactly. Maybe the last five are rotating flavors.
Yeah, I guess.
Right?
Okay. Perhaps.
All right, how about Shrek Swirl?
Baskin-Robbins?
I tried to trick her by doing another Baskin-Robbins like three in a row, and it didn't work. It is Baskin-Robbins.
Can't trick me.
I know. I'm so freaking dumb. All right, here we go. Bourbon Brown Butter.
That sounds amazing.
That's so good.
Sounds awesome. I'm going to go Ben & Jerry's.
It is Ben & Jerry's. All of my efforts to try and fake you guys out by ordering these, they're not working at all.
We love ice cream.
How about S'more the Merrier? S'more the Merrier.
I'm going with Baskin-Robbins.
It's Baskin-Robbins. Yes. God, come it.
You know, there's a Baskin-Robbins near here. I'd say we go there after the show.
not a bad idea. Okay, here we go. Brownie Batter Core.
That is Ben & Jerry's.
Do you, like, have stock in Ben & Jerry's?
I eat a lot of ice cream, so.
You are correct. That is Ben & Jerry's. All right, I got two more. Empowerment. Empowerment.
Oh, I know this one.
Shut your cake hole, Yoko.
Did you just call me Yoko?
I did.
What's wrong with you?
Well, I told you to shut your cake hole first. You didn't care about that?
Yeah, but you're comparing me to someone who broke up the Beatles.
I'll go. Are y'all done now? Can I answer?
No.
I'll go Ben & Jerry's.
Correct answer is Ben & freaking Jerry's.
Yeah. Yes. I actually crushed your Warm It Up Chris
question. Amy, they are destroying this Warm It Up Chris question. I just want you to know. Last one. Oh, that makes it easy.
Good. I need one.
Love Potion 31.
I'm going to go with Baskin-Robbins.
Baskin-Robbins.
Answer is Ben & Jerry's.
Yeah, probably.
Baskin-Robbins is correct. Well, you guys know your ice cream, apparently. All right. So, guys, the game today is going to be Carmella and Ben versus Jonathan. Mark is hosting. It is time to play the game.
Time to play the game.
Here's how it works. Our game is six rounds long, three questions per round, and each question is worth 10 points. There will be a midpoint question after round three that's worth 20 points. And when we get to the final question at the end of the game, you will be able to wager any or all of what you've earned throughout the game. If you're playing along at home, you can pause the game after each question to give yourself a chance to think about it and answer before listening to us. All right, guys, let's get started. Mark, over to you.
All right, your first category is history.
History.
In 1964, the Italian government requested international aid to save what structure?
What year?
1964.
All right, I'm locked in.
Yeah, I was along the same lines as you.
All right, we were thinking Leaning Tower of Pisa, because it's definitely leaning, and they would probably need to have something to kind of hold it up so it doesn't lean too far over. Yeah. So you want to say Leaning Tower of Pisa?
Yeah, that's my guess, too.
All right, so we're Leaning Tower of Pisa.
I know that they needed help with Leaning Tower of Pisa. 64 sounds early to me, but that's the best answer. So I said Leaning Tower of Pisa.
It is the Leaning Tower of Pisa.
All right.
Good job. Sweet.
You know what I want? A Leaning Tower of Pisa.
A pizza. That sounds amazing. And it probably needs saving.
Yes. So we need to save it from itself.
I can save that.
Yeah. Round one, question two. Food is your category.
All right. Oh, Leaning Tower of Pisa. Here we go.
What country is the largest producer of bananas? And they produce twice as much as the runner-up country.
I have no bananas today. All right, I'm locked in.
All right, so I don't have a guess per se, but I'm going to throw some thought out there and see if it bounces off of you. So sure. I know two of the biggest banana companies are Del Monte and Chiquita.
Okay.
That immediately takes me to the Caribbean. Mm-hmm. But I know there's a Banana Republic out there, too. But I don't know if that has anything to do with the fruit or whether it's called that for some other reason.
My understanding of Banana Republic has always been a negative connotation regarding government. So I don't think it has anything to do with actual bananas. So the only thing I had written down while we were waiting for Jonathan was Ecuador. And I'm kind of not sure where that answer came from. Yeah.
Yeah, I was definitely thinking Caribbean or South America, tropical for sure.
Oh, yeah.
But I could not pick a particular country. So if you got Ecuador, I'm willing to go with it.
All right, we'll say Ecuador.
For me, size matters. I went with Brazil.
Makes sense.
They have bigger bananas in Brazil?
No, it's just a bigger country. So there's
more space. They have their own nuts.
Exactly.
That's true.
Any country with nuts is a good country, right? Yeah, so I thought it might be a Caribbean island too, but Brazil is just so big that it felt like it was likely to be the answer.
Twice as many bananas are produced in India than any other country.
Oh, wow.
Yep. Wow. You're kidding.
That's they definitely awesome. Have a climate for it.
They do.
It's tropical.
Dang.
Yep. Your last category of round one is sports.
I need you, Ben.
I do my best.
What NFL player was nicknamed the A-Train?
Ooh. The A-Train.
Yes.
You didn't give a sport?
NFL.
NFL.
Oh, you said NFL player?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Good, because I was leaning towards Artis Gilmore.
It's like, gosh, Jonathan, listen to the question.
The A-Train. I know the big train.
I know Night Train.
Yeah, I know Night Train, too. The A-Train.
I know Night Ranger.
You're not helping.
Is that Sister Christian? Is that them?
Yeah.
Usually nicknames jump right off the page at me, but this one is not coming. I don't know if I know it.
I am surprised. I would have thought that...
Me too.
Somebody would have gotten this a little easier.
So, Ben's got his eyes shut. And he's going like this in front of the microphone.
I don't mean to impersonate Stevie Wonder.
He's bobbing his head back and forth. And you do. You look like you're doing Stevie Wonder. And I'm just like, what are you doing?
Stevie can't help me right now. No New Year's Day. Mm-hmm. All right. I'm going to lock in a wrong answer.
Are you?
Yep.
I'm really upset with myself for not having something come into mind. So the fact that they called him something train, like the A-Train... That's typically the kind of nickname you give to somebody who lives in a place with a lot of subways. So I've been leaning towards giants or bears or that kind of mentality. But I'm also trying to find somebody whose name starts with A, either the first name or the last name. And I mean, the only one I can think of is Adrian Peterson, and it's not Adrian Peterson.
Right.
And so I'm looking for like a giant with an A name, and I'm not seeing it.
Andre the Giant?
A-Train. I'm going to even specify further. It's probably a running back. Oh, wait. No. I'm trying to think of guys who run over people. Otis Anderson? That's too obscure for him to ask about Otis Anderson. All right. I'm just going to guess Otis Anderson.
Yeah, it's I had the same similar train of thought. So I'm thinking somebody big that runs over people.
Jerome Adis.
I don't know why. So Kansas City just came into my mind, the Chiefs for some reason. I could not think of anyone that started with A, so I just guessed Anderson.
Oh.
I just picked the name
Anderson. You know, Anderson. I should have said Anderson too. I was very specific. Christian Okoye could have been a good train.
If it started with A.
But he was a Nigerian nightmare.
He was a Nigerian nightmare.
And it's an O.
Yes.
Yeah.
The O train.
Yeah. So I actually locked in Anderson.
All right. The A train, 6'1", 245 pounds from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Mike Allstott.
Allstott, of course.
Oh, I've never heard that name associated with him.
Yeah. Pro Bowl 6 years
in a row. At least it's been so long that obscure. I don't remember it.
Most people know him better with Chris Berman's nickname. You're in good hands with Allstott.
Yeah, but that kind of has name in it.
Yeah, you can't really use that.
I haven't even thought about Mike Allstott in 10 years, man. That's woo. All right, so going into the second round, it is 10-10. Anybody's awesome. Ballgame.
It's all a right. pitcher's duel.
Let's go a little easier on this. Your first category of the round is movies. Name the movie that featured all of the following actors or actresses in voiceover roles. Owen Wilson, Bonnie Hunt, Michael Keaton, and Paul Newman.
I'm locked in.
All right. I don't really have a great idea here, but I just took Lego Movie as a shot in the dark only because it had Batman and Michael Keaton played Batman in the 90s.
I'm Batman.
But it's a long shot. I have
Paul
no
Newman, though? Paul Newman passed away several years ago.
Oh, so yeah.
Did he really?
Seriously? Yeah.
Paul Newman?
I did not know that.
I thought he was alive.
I still eat his dressings.
Paul Newman passed away in like 2008.
Really?
Yeah.
I had no idea. Wow. So clearly it can't be Lego Movie then.
That's what I was like, mm-mm.
Unless they taped it 10 years before he died or something.
Rest in peace.
Yeah. So I really don't have anything for this one.
No, I think you should go with Ben.
No. No.
All right, so Owen Wilson. I don't know who Bonnie Hunt is. I know Michael Keaton was Beetlejuice.
Right.
A fantastic Beetlejuice, too. He was amazing.
They're making another one, you know that.
Are they really?
A second Beetlejuice, yeah.
Ooh.
I'm trying to figure out which animated movie Owen Wilson was in, because I don't think he's been in a whole lot of them.
What about that one with, was he in the one with Martin Lawrence, where one of them was
a little bigger? Oh, I know what it is. I know what it is. It's Cars. It's Cars.
Let's go with Cars.
He plays Lightning McQueen. I think Paul Newman plays like a doc kind of character. It's Cars. Cars.
Right, let's go with Cars.
You suck. It's Cars. Now that you mentioned that he's dead, I think that's his last casted role. Yeah. Paul Newman's last role was.
I can get the actual year for you. I think it's 2008 though that he passed away.
He did.
Okay.
I just looked it up. Yeah, it was Cars.
Oh, boo.
Your second category is literature.
Literature.
I can't even do it, so I'm not even trying it. Nobody does it like Ben.
I love saying it, but I don't read, so this is not a strong category for me.
You don't read?
Not anymore.
Aww.
He's illiterate.
I'm on
illiterate.
I'm on book 75 for this year.
Wow, that's a lot.
So
you're like books of the Bible, or
no? I've read. I'm about to finish reading my 75th book this year.
Wow.
So,
with Dr. Seuss.
No.
Just checking. That's a lot of books.
There's a lot of books. I read a lot.
Burks.
Well, in that case, I'm sure that you have read this one.
Oh, my God.
Literature. What must be held by anyone wishing to speak during meetings in The Lord of the Flies?
Oh, crap.
Was that one of your 75 this year?
No. I haven't read Lord of the Flies since I was like in middle school.
Man, I was still wearing like Underoos underwear when I read this book last.
Either you read really well when you were young, or you wore underoos way too long.
I'm voting for the latter.
I didn't.
He's wearing underoos.
Didn't have a lot of money
right
up,
now.
So a bit of both.
You got to make the underwear stretch as far as you could, literally and figuratively.
You took them up. You kind of sewed two pairs together.
Yeah, something like that.
He made Superman's S look like a Z.
Well, you know, I was short, so you know. It's just, really? Like your mom wasn't shopping for you in the men's section since you were like 6 years old.
Let me tell you, we went to the Husky section really fast.
Oh, yeah. I used to have those.
Yeah, it escalated quickly in my family, too.
Typically, Mark's questions don't make me feel bad about myself, but he's bringing the thunder today.
Well, someone had to fill in for me. We're going to lock in.
I'm locked in, too.
Oh. You have to hold this object first.
I know. If I only had one. I was thinking, like, I don't have a recollection of it. The first thing that came to my mind was like a pig's skull. And I know there's a character named Piggy. And so that's probably why I'm thinking pig.
I hope it wasn't his skull.
I hope not. He didn't die until late into the book. Spoiler alert. So I just wrote down skull.
We wrote down talking stick.
So the stick talking? Yeah.
It's like Aladdin.
You have to hold a conch shell.
Oh, conch shell. Did it have a skull in it?
No, but you could hear the ocean in it.
I bet you had a stick in it.
That's not a conch shell. Your last category of the round, music. Who sang the theme song for the James Bond movie, For Your Eyes Only?
Oh, my God. I'm going to get
seriously?
What the hell? I'm like in freaking Wario world right now.
It was a very popular song.
What's the James Bond movie again?
For Your Eyes Only.
For Your Eyes Only. Who sang it?
And it was actually called For Your Eyes Only.
I'm sure. They almost always were.
I can tell you who sang the one for Thunderball. I can tell you the one who sang for Casino Royale.
I know GoldenEye.
I know the one for Skyfall. I
know there's this one lady who did like the first 20 of them. And 20, maybe 10. I don't know how many. But there's one lady who did a lot of them. I don't know her name. So I would guess her if I knew it.
Would anyone like an additional clue?
Sure.
Yes.
She also had a huge song called Morning Train.
Not that huge.
Never mind.
I do have a guess though. The he part of that actually helped for me to give me some kind of hint.
Wait, I said he?
You said he also had a big hit.
I said he?
Yes.
Okay, I'll give you another clue. It is not a he.
Oh, damn you!
And that's where I draw the line.
For Your Eyes Only and Morning Train.
Yes.
I'll take things I've never heard of for 800, Alex.
I've got more of those.
All right, I've locked in my wrong answer.
He said Morning Train, and I'm thinking like, my baby takes the morning train. That's all I could think of.
That's the song, yeah.
Oh, is it?
Hey. Don't tell
never
her
heard,
that.
Never heard
I'm just confirming
before.
It was the song
but
I was
don't tell her
to.
That, though. Don't help her.
Okay, it may not be the song
Jesus
I was talking
Lord.
About.
But I don't know who sings that.
Thank God.
I don't know the song, never seen the movie, but I figure I haven't heard that title's music. It was probably in the 70s. Mm-hmm. So I was just guessing Streisand. She was a huge star.
I don't
star
think Streisand sang that song, though.
So, yeah, it's a long shot. If only he'd said who sang the GoldenEye theme or the Die Another Day theme. I know those.
You know, the James Bond is one of my super weakest categories.
And I figured somebody would be strong. Is Chris strong on it?
No.
Oh,
no.
I figured no. someone would
if
be.
If Corey were here, he would know.
As
this.
A trivia yeah. show, one of our group weaknesses is James Bond.
I got nothing.
Streisand.
For some reason, I think Carly Simon has done a James Bond song. I've answered her wrong 4 times so far, but I'm going with Carly Simon. There's some lady named Sherry something who I think did a lot of them, and I'm betting it's probably her, but I said Carly Simon.
Maybe Sheena?
Sheena Easton.
Is that this one?
Yes.
Oh, she did do that song, Easton. Didn't she? Yeah.
Sheena Easton.
Well, all right.
All right, all right. Well, all right. After 2 rounds, guess how many points we have?
10.
A 20. Combined 40. It's 20 to 20.
Wow. Mark has 30.
Yay.
There are a bunch of people listening who have more points than us right
oh,
now.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Absolutely. They're all screaming, Sheena Easton, for the morning train part
which
of that
is
song.
The first time anybody screamed that in a long time.
Aww.
Let's be honest.
Since I was in middle school, I don't think I've screamed her name. Very vivid imagination.
Wow, that's
probably a little too much for you.
That's yet another thing you could have kept to yourself.
Your first category of round three is science.
Science!
What is the common name for precipitation that contains sulfuric and nitric acids?
The common name for it?
Yes.
I'm locked in, but I know I'm going to feel dumb at the end of this question.
So when I think of precipitation, I think of rain.
Mm-hmm.
These are acids, so I'm thinking acid rain.
Okay.
But sulfuric acid is really, that's a strong acid.
Right. Well, a precipitate is also a
fallout of a solution.
A solid leftover. So I was thinking of saltpeter.
Yeah, but they're not salty.
That's why I thought that.
But they could have been named Peter.
I can't do it anymore.
Can you repeat the question?
I'm just amazed that the words salty and Peter have come together at some point in time here.
Yeah, well, okay, I was trying.
Mm-hmm. What is the common name for precipitation that contains sulfuric and nitric acids?
Well, he's saying precipitation, not a precipitate. So I'll go with you. I'll go acid rain.
We'll lock in acid rain.
Like I said, I'm going to feel dumb if it's not acid rain. The word has precipitation and acid in the same sentence. I'm going acid rain.
Acid rain is correct.
Oh, thank God. I would have just felt like an idiot if I went anywhere else. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I hear you.
Well, we've managed to get the first question in each round right.
Woohoo!
This is a weird little trend.
Okay, your second category, television.
All right.
Who hosted nearly 300 episodes of the show The Soup and then went on to star on the show Community?
I don't know that guy's name. I know I don't know that guy's name. I know who you're talking about. I don't know his name. I'm out. I don't know his name. I don't have any clue.
So you're locking in with no clue?
I have no answer. There's some things that you know you don't know, and I know exactly who we're talking about.
That's not him. I know he had a show on E. I know Perez Hilton had a show on E, but I couldn't remember.
But no, it's the guy he's talking about is the lead guy from Community.
I don't know.
You know, with the face.
In the eyes.
As soon as he says it, I'll know it, but I can't.
I don't even think I'll know the guy's name.
I can't think of his name.
I'll give you a minute to see if you can pull it. If not, we just need to come up with a hilarious wrong answer.
Well, it's definitely not Perez Hilton. Oh, God, what's his name? I'm so upset right now. I can't think of his name. What hilarious answer would you like to go with?
He may even have to bleep this out of the show, but I'm not going to say that.
Chlamydia Jones?
No, I was thinking like a Dick Tug Nuts or something like that.
Huge ass?
J-A-Z-Z, the last name.
Like, give me a funnier one than Huge Ass. Come on.
Maybe like a Zac Efron or something like that. Something that's really clearly not right.
The only other...
Lady Gaga...
Well, let's go with the guy who actually hosted anything on E. I think Hal Sparks did for a while, so we can say that. Right. But I know it's not him, so we'll just say Hal Sparks.
Man, it's this blonde dude with the boyish kind of face. He's been
yes.
on. I don't know his name. I've never heard it. So what is it, Mark?
Joel McHale.
Still don't know it.
Oh, it is Joel McHale.
Joel McHale.
Damn it!
Do you know that name?
I know that name.
Final category of the round.
Please, let's get this right.
Alcohol.
Nope.
Oh, there you go.
We're lost.
Founded in 1786, what Canadian company is North America's oldest brewery?
1786?
Yes, sir.
We have some Canadian listeners who I guarantee know this off the top of their head. Oh, I bet it's one of those. Okay, let me write one down. I've written my answer down.
So I'm thinking of Canadian beer companies.
Mm-hmm.
Molson comes to mind.
That was the one I was thinking of, was Molson.
I also wrote down Labatt, but I'm pretty sure it's not that one.
Because I was like, it begins with an M, what is it? And then you said Molson. I'm like, yes, that was what I'm thinking of.
That's my best shot at it.
Molson?
Yeah.
And I got no idea, so we'll say Molson.
I started with Labatt, and I didn't like Labatt. I was trying and trying and trying. Finally, Molson came to mind. I was like, Molson, that sounds good. So I went with Molson.
Molson is correct.
We got one.
Opa. Your nonverbals are terrible, Mark.
Thank you very much.
What do you mean?
Like when we said like in Molson, he kind of gave us this wry look like, oh, yeah, that's it.
No, I wasn't even looking over there. I was thinking Dos Equis.
He was having a cramp.
He was thinking about Jamaica.
Yes.
Yeah, there you go. Ganja.
All right, after three rounds. Wow, that was a fast three rounds. 40-40.
Wow.
Your halftime question. Excluding voice roles, name the top four highest grossing movies at the domestic box office starring Eddie Murphy.
I instantly feel pressure about this question.
I'm going to bet it's not Blackula.
That was a good film.
Yeah.
It wasn't called Blackula.
Yeah, but it's the stuff they put on the film that wasn't so good.
It was called A Vampire in Brooklyn.
Yeah, Vampire in Brooklyn.
No, he didn't do Blackula. Somebody did Blackula.
Blackula was a 70s blaxploitation.
Oh, was it?
Yes.
Oh.
It was called Blackula. Of course, it's a blaxploitation film.
It might have not. Well, no, it was 70s.
Read the question again, just for us to be sure.
Excluding voice roles, name the top four highest grossing movies at the domestic box office starring Eddie Murphy.
What's interesting is we know he's one of the top 10 highest grossing actors, and it's so hard to come up with his big movies.
He was also on that top 10 list for top SNL performers, cast members.
Oh, you're right.
He was number two. Which nobody liked that list, by the way.
I was not happy with it.
I wasn't happy with it either.
You know, it sparked the debate in the conference room, and then, you know, when I put on the message thing, and they're like, no, really, this list is crap. And I was like, okay.
When you named Chevy Chase number 10, that's bad.
I mean, the fact that they put Adam Sandler in the top 20 made me
Sandler, I can give him that.
I don't think Adam Sandler is funny at all.
Well, that's a personal thing.
On there, I think he was.
He was funny then, and he was funny for the first few movies he did.
Yeah, that one bit that he did when he was a Cajun guy, like, depression. Yeah. Melons.
And he turned that into the Water Boy.
He absolutely did. And of course the Hanukkah song, that was pretty legendary. Okay. So getting back to Eddie Murphy.
Who's way funnier?
Yes. That we can agree on. I think these four are gonna be as good as it's gonna get.
Okay. So we're locked in.
I haven't written many down, to be honest with you. Eddie Murphy's not my jam. The ones I have written down that I haven't locked in are Dr. Doolittle, Nutty Professor 1 and 2, Bowfinger, and Beverly Hills Cop. Those are literally the only ones I've thought of. Shrek obviously comes to mind.
I just thought of one.
But that's not it. I think
it said excluding voice roles.
I know. I know. I think he did like, what's the early Spike Lee one he did? He was in an early Spike Lee movie. That's not going to be up there. Jungle Fever, I think. Raw, I think he technically
wasn't in Jungle Fever.
He wasn't in Jungle Fever? Oh, my bad. Coming to America.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Coming to America is a funny movie.
How did I forget about that one?
Does it make money, though? I don't know how well it did at the box office. I'm betting Nutty Professor 1 and 2 are the big ones. Coming to America versus Beverly Hills Cop is hard. Trying to think of more. He did Something Jones, and I think that was not well received. Neptune Jones or something like that. All right, I'm gonna go with Nutty Professor 1, Nutty Professor 2, Dr. Doolittle, and Beverly Hills Cop.
Pluto Nash was the that movie was that you were
Neptune doing. Jones.
The Adventures of Pluto Nash.
It's almost there.
So we went with, actually, neither one of us thought of Coming to America, which is probably really bad. Yeah. 48 Hours, Beverly Hills Cop, Dr. Doolittle, and The Nutty Professor.
Coming to America was just outside of the four. That was fifth.
Oh, all right.
Well, that's good.
Your top four.
Probably the best of all of those movies, by the way.
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, true. Your top four, Beverly Hills Cop.
Ooh.
Beverly Hills Cop 2.
Oh!
But not Beverly Hills Cop 3. Dr. Doolittle.
Yeah.
And The Nutty Professor.
Ooh, I got three out of four.
Both of you got three.
I picked the wrong sequel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep.
All right, so we both got three?
Mm-hmm.
We did better than we thought we were doing, I think.
Yeah. I'm a little sad that 48 Hours isn't in there, though.
I'm glad Dr. Doolittle was on there, because I was worried about that one not making much money. But that was during his real renaissance for
kids
modern
movies,
times.
The big barrier to me for that question was I've seen a ton of Eddie Murphy movies that I know, like The Distinguished Gentleman and Boomerang and stuff that
I forgot about Boomerang.
You said Bowfinger, and I actually just recently read this week Steve Martin's memoir, and I remember Steve Martin being in that movie.
Yeah, absolutely.
So,
They were filming Wet Rain or something, right?
Chubby Rain.
Chubby Rain.
That movie is so ridiculous.
What a great name, though. Yeah, Chubby Rain.
No, I'm talking about Bowfinger in general. Oh, absolutely yes. Ridiculous.
Oh, I hated it. I hated that movie.
Wasn't he in Vampire in Brooklyn, too?
Yeah,
that's what we were talking about.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I thought it was called Blackula, but it was Vampire in Brooklyn.
The guy from Blackula actually wound up being on Pee-wee's Playhouse for 4 years.
Doesn't surprise
me. He's the king of cartoons.
It wasn't Lawrence Fishburne, was it?
No, it's some dude.
Because he was on Pee-wee's Playhouse.
But he was Cowboy Curtis.
That's right.
Wow. Some Pee-wee questions.
I wouldn't have remembered his name. I'm glad that's not coming up.
We do need some Pee-wee's Playhouse questions.
No, we don't. Pee-wee's Playhouse. Get out of
here. You know who did the theme song for it? The female voice? Cyndi Lauper.
That's interesting.
She did not want credit for it, though.
Yeah, I wouldn't. Look, I'll do it if you pay me, but I don't want anybody to know that we talk to each other. Reminds me of high school.
Too soon?
It's just a joke, people. It's a joke. Give me a break. All right, going into the fourth round, it is 55-55. All right, that's the end of the first half. We'll be back with round four after this very quick break.
Round four, your first category, A words.
I know a few.
A words.
A words. Words that start with the letter A. Exactly. Yeah. You'd swear I got them from the same question bank.
Anderson.
A words. What is the name of the small plastic tag at the end of a shoelace?
I know this. I'm locked in.
It's an aglet.
Ah, I hate you.
Yep, aglet is right.
You just assume that that's what I wrote down based on my reaction.
Yeah.
I learned that.
It's pretty obvious.
Where did you learn that?
I forget. It's one of those things that I heard and it just stuck with me.
Phineas and Ferb.
Oh, really?
Did an entire episode on aglets.
I know where I heard it from. There was a list of things that you didn't know had names, and that was one of them.
Oh, and you remembered it from that?
Yeah.
You're awesome. Wow.
I know.
You're awesome, but he hates you.
It's kind of the basis of our friendship.
Oh, yeah. By the way, we've all gotten exactly the same things right and exactly the same things wrong so far. Even the midpoint. Everything we've gotten right, we've done it together. Everything we've gotten wrong, we've done it together.
Yeah.
Team Trivial Warfare.
This is crazy.
Sports.
Sports.
Babe Ruth began his baseball career for the Boston Red Sox in what year?
Oh, my God. Oh, okay.
They didn't give us a range or anything.
Nope. It's the second half.
Nice.
Oh, is that how that works?
I don't know.
For me, it does.
Oh, okay.
It gets harder as the game goes on.
I know I'm going to be close. I've locked in.
All right. So, do you have any?
No idea. Okay,
so,
I mean,
I
know.
Didn't think you would, but I wanted to ask
you. I'm like, when was he inducted into the Baseball Hall of Fame?
First year.
So, I know.
You know that well.
So I know that he was sold to the Yankees.
Or traded.
I was told he was sold.
It's called a trade, though.
Oh, well, he went to the Yankees in exchange for money,
he was traded for cash.
And that was, I want to say
that's the definition of being sold.
No, but they didn't buy him, though.
I think I know a little bit something about people being sold to other people.
That's why
I was waiting for it.
That's why I'm trying to differentiate between the two.
Anyway, he went to the Yankees, and I want to say that was in the 20s, I was thinking 25 or 26, but it could have been earlier than that. Although the 27 Yankees were the greatest team of all time. I know for a fact he was on that team.
Right. I'm thinking.
So 1920 is where I'm.
I was thinking late teens, early 20s.
Yeah. So I would just guess 1920. That would be my guess, since we don't have a range.
Okay. Well, say 1920.
Yep. 1920.
All right. He was traded to the Yankees in 1920.
Oh crap.
We're screwed.
Here he comes. I have 3 years. I have to have three of something, right?
Of course you do.
I have 3 years. My years are 16, 14, and 13. I don't remember which. I know he was a 20-game winner for them. He was a good player for them. It wasn't like he was there for 1 or 2 years and then got traded, I don't think. I said 1914, and I'm hoping for the best.
It was in 1914.
Wow.
Oh, yeah!
Good job, dude. Woo!
Man, that was... I'm pumped. That was good.
There's your separator question.
Mm.
Final category
of the
round.
It's a good thing you redeemed yourself on a baseball question.
That was an easy question right there. I feel good.
Cool.
Feel good.
Your last category of the round, music links.
Oh.
What song by Neil Diamond is also the name of a group who had a hit with the song Horse with No Name?
We're locked in. Oh.
Oh.
Well, Carmela can talk because I got nothing.
I'm locked in, so you can talk.
Horse with No Name is, it's supposed to be like really a reference to like drug addiction, like heroin addiction. And I'm pretty sure the name of the group was called America.
I've been through the desert on a horse with no name. It felt good to be out from the rain. I went with America.
You guys are so smart. It's America.
Nice. Good job, Carmela.
I got that. There was a, back in the 90s, for you kids out there who don't remember this, they used to entice you to buy magazines by putting CDs on the cover. Like they'd attach a slim case CD case and try and get you to buy the first magazine because it had a CD attached. And there was a CD like that that had a bunch of old classics on them. And Horse with No Name by America was on there. That's the only reason I know that.
The reason I remember it is something similar. My mom had a compilation CD where it was songs that told stories. So like Delta Dawn was on there and things like that. And Horse with No Name was one of those. So I remember just listening to that CD over and over again.
Yeah.
So.
Nice. Well, going into the fifth round, 85-75. Jonathan's in the lead.
All right, come on. Ask me a 90s R&B question, Mark.
Let's 89 Pistons. Let's go.
Yes, 89 Pistons.
Ask me about Return of the Mac.
Yeah, I'm still reeling off of that when he asked it. Anytime I hear Come On XM Radio, I'm like, that's the only time I've ever heard anybody make reference to that song.
So you thought it was a hard question, too.
I thought it was.
All right.
But once I heard it, I knew the song.
I feel better.
Oh, y'all uncultured folks.
We are.
Uncultured swine.
Yeah.
Your first category is presidents.
Oh, really? You're going to ask the president's question? Okay.
You think that's out of bounds?
No. I could say it's R&B presidents, but it's not.
We do have an R&B president.
It's George Washington
now.
From Hamilton.
Yeah. Who was the first president born in the 20th century?
Oh, 20th century.
You remember when the 20th century was, right?
I do.
Okay, good.
Before the 21st?
After the 19th.
Oh, sweet. I knew it. Yes.
All right. I'm locked in.
All right. So.
What names have you written down?
So here's my logic. Okay. You have to be at least 35 to be president.
Right.
That means that they had to have come to presidency after 1935, which means it was not FDR.
Right.
So the president after FDR was Truman.
Mm-hmm.
Then it was Eisenhower, mm-hmm. and then I think it was Kennedy after Eisenhower.
Those are the three names I wrote down was Kennedy, Truman, and Eisenhower.
Yeah. I remember if I look at a picture like Eisenhower's like posters and stuff,
mm-hmm.
I think he was, if it was 52 when he became elected, I think he was older than 52 because I think he was a general in the war.
He was. He was a five-star general in World War II. Truman was probably up in age because he was right after FDR died, and that was in the mid-40s.
Was he his running mate throughout his entire presidency?
He was his vice president.
Throughout his entire presidency?
I believe so.
So I met, that leans me towards Kennedy, because I know Kennedy was young.
And Kennedy was the first one I wrote down.
Yeah, so let's go with Kennedy.
Yeah, Kennedy.
All right. Truman was not his vice president throughout his presidency.
Oh.
No way. He had three or four. Okay. Truman was elected in 48. But he had become president in 46, 45 or 46 when FDR died.
Oh, in 45.
Right. So he was youngish looking for a president, but I feel like he was older than 45. So I thought it couldn't be him. Eisenhower was elected in 52. Felt like he was older than 52. And the buck stops with Kennedy because he was elected in 1960 and he was much younger than 60 when he was elected. So I said Kennedy.
John F. Kennedy.
Sweet. Woo-hoo! Good job.
Your next category is geography. Okay.
Geography.
Exactly. What is the name of the mainland portion of the province originally called Newfoundland? Another Canada question.
Can you
read the thing slowly?
What's the name of the mainland portion of the province originally called Newfoundland?
It's not called Newfoundland anymore?
I'm locked in.
The mainland portion.
I'm locked in.
I don't know. It's not Nova Scotia.
No. For some reason, Labrador came up in my head.
That's in the same area.
Yeah. I got nothing else.
Let's just go with that then.
All right, Labrador.
Oh, my God. when you look at it on a map, it's literally called Newfoundland and Labrador together. There's an and between them, so I said Labrador.
Yep, Labrador's right.
Good job, Carmel.
I'm awesome.
it might be called Labrador and Newfoundland. It's one of those two. Good job. That was pretty good.
Your last category of the round, we have another literature question.
Literature.
According to Norman Mailer's book, The Executioner's Song, what condemned murderer may have been the illegitimate grandson of Harry Houdini?
Mm-hmm.
They also made a TV movie out of it also.
So I know how illegitimate sons work, but how do illegitimate grandsons work?
A son of the illegitimate son.
They're not legit.
It's like a baby grandma instead of a baby mama.
They were not too legit.
I was just going to say.
Hey, hey.
Don't ever do that again.
Oh, that wasn't bad. Wasn't bad. Hey, hey. Sorry, couldn't leave it there.
So that song reminds me of our last recording when I asked you about Psy. Because when I write questions, I end up spending like 2 hours on YouTube looking at videos.
Yeah.
And one of the ones that I had to pull up since I was researching Psy was his American Music Awards performance where he played Gundam Style. And they stopped it in the middle and brought Hammer out. And they were playing, mashed up Too Legit to Quit with it. I was like, oh, that was so awesome.
All right.
Illegitimate grandson of Harry Houdini.
All right. We're locked in.
Ooh. Okay. So there's a little bit to work with here. I think Mailer was writing in the 50s, 40s, 50s, 60s, somewhere in there. Houdini died in the early 20th century, 1910-ish, maybe as late as 20, somewhere in the teens or the early aughts. So for him to have had a kid, he was 30-something when he died. He wasn't old. So he would have had a kid around the turn of the century, maybe just a tad later. So for it to be his grandkid, logically, somewhere after 1940 was when we're talking. So that all hones me into somewhere after 40. And you said the question was, what convicted... Could you read the question again, just so I got to make sure?
According to Norman Mailer's book, The Executioner's Song, what condemned murderer may have been the illegitimate grandson of Harry Houdini?
Hauptmann comes to mind. He was the guy who killed the Lindbergh baby, but that's too early. Somebody after the 40s, convicted murderer, doesn't mean a psycho. It doesn't mean that it was somebody who was a multiple killer, a serial killer. It could just be one person who is a famous killer, likely. So I'm trying to find a famous killer in the 40s, 50s, or 60s. And he didn't say assassin, so it's not someone like Sirhan Sirhan. Oh, now it's too late for it to be the guy who killed Lenin. I'm going to go with... Lee Harvey Oswald.
Do you know who the guy's name that killed Lennon?
No.
It's Mark David Chapman. Okay. Who shot John Lennon. But we went with Bundy.
Oh, Ted Bundy.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. They actually did an SNL skit on it, like back at the night he was supposed to be executed, like poking fun at him. It was a Christmas episode.
Tasteless.
Yeah, it was very dark. It was Gary Gilmore.
I've heard that name, and I can never remember that name.
Mm-hmm.
Ugh. All right.
Okay.
Well, we both got 20 in that round. In fact, we once again getting the same ones right and the same ones wrong. It is now 105 to 95 is still anybody's ballgame going into the sixth round.
If you want to ask like an RPG question or 89 Pistons question, something that we would know.
Or anything in space. Ask anything in space.
Anything quit in begging. Space, anything in space.
Quit begging.
Okay.
Let him do what he does.
No more baseball questions is all I'm saying.
Oh, yeah. That was a good baseball question.
Ask a baseball one. Question. Present question.
Well, your first category of the round is science.
Science. Oh, boy.
What radioactive element was used in the Fat Boy bomb dropped on Nagasaki, but not in the bomb dropped on Hiroshima?
God, I hate this question.
I know the two elements. I'm just trying to figure out which one's
which. Yeah, we're probably thinking of, yep, we're thinking of the same ones.
Mm-hmm. All right, I'm locked in. You guys can talk.
All right, so obviously it's uranium or plutonium.
Right.
And I know that they both used a different one. I want to say the...
So here, let me tell you my train of thought here. Mm-hmm. So my line of thinking is, why would they use a different element in the second bomb than the first one? So I'm thinking, did they not have enough of that particular material after the first one?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm pretty sure uranium was the precursor to plutonium.
Yeah, and I'm thinking they used plutonium for Hiroshima and uranium for Nagasaki.
So they didn't have plutonium, they would have had the precursor, which is uranium. So right. That would lead me toward uranium.
So you want to say uranium?
Yep.
All right, uranium.
We had a question about... plutonium. We might not have. I had a question about plutonium somewhere. I believe it wasn't invented until like 1948. I couldn't think of another radioactive element to go with other than uranium, though. So I said uranium. I didn't feel like plutonium was an option, though. So I said uranium.
Plutonium is correct.
Darn me and my faulty memory. Darn me.
That sucks.
Well, for us, it was 50-50. So
yeah.
All right.
Second category of round six is movies. In The Fellowship of the Ring, what does Gandalf do to the ring to make its secret inscription visible?
What does he do to it?
We're locked in.
I haven't seen this movie, and I hope it happened in the movie. Otherwise, I got no shot. I don't remember the book. I haven't seen the movie in 10 years more, maybe more than that.
It's one of the very few movies I own on Blu-ray.
I remember seeing the words, the Elvish. I'm feeling like he might have blown on it, which is weird. I mean, you could think he cast a spell at it.
Yeah, no. Was it a Nintendo cartridge? No, I mean, yeah.
No, I like had it in his hand, kind of. So, but based on the laughter. I'm going to have to say that's probably not the right answer.
No, it's just that's what it made me think of.
Here's your delivery.
It's too hot. Blow on it.
Blow on it. Blow on it. Do something. I'm going to guess he heats it up in a fire.
He throws it into Frodo's fireplace. Throws it into a fire.
Yep, he heats it in the fire. Yep.
Because Frodo freaks out, like, oh my god, what are you doing?
So you went from blowing on it, which would cool it off, to heating it up. It, the opposite.
Oh, honestly, I might have gone with blow on it if y'all hadn't laughed at me.
Damn.
Okay. Music is your final category.
All right.
What year was the 1 billionth song downloaded from iTunes?
1 billion songs.
I don't even know how. How do you even get to this answer? Like,
well, I mean, it's kind of a multiple choice question.
I mean, yes, yeah, sort of, but we can go with that. Your answer.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I'm guessing.
Okay, we'll lock in.
So, the first iPhones came out in 2006, I think, and the first iPods were like 2001 ish. And I know iTunes came out either the year after the iPod or the year after the iPhone. So it was either 2002 or 2006-ish, the 7-ish. At first, I don't think a lot of people adopted. So the first couple of years, I don't think they had a lot of downloads. But once they really hit their stride, people are giving them money hand over fist. Mark, is it just songs? Or does it include like podcasts?
Songs. 1 billionth song.
Okay. I'm thinking it's going to be after 2010. So it's really a multiple. And I think it's going to be before 2015. So it's a multiple choice for me between 11, 12, 13, and 14. I'm going to guess 2013.
We didn't want to go any earlier than 2013, but we had said 2014.
So you said 2014?
2014.
I'm 2013. Mark?
2006.
Really?
Yes.
It must have come out in 2002, but still, wow. Mm-hmm. They'd get a lot more downloads than I realized.
Yep. Yeah.
All right, going into the final, it is 115 to 105 with Jonathan in the lead.
Your category is going to be historical events. Okay. I would just call it events.
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 You're going to put events in order.
I'm shocked by that. All right, so I have my wager written down. You guys have yours?
Yep.
Yes.
All right.
Your final question. You are going to put these events in order from the earliest to happen to the most recent. First event. The Olympic Winter Games are held in Nagano, Japan. The Nintendo 64 video game console unit debuts in the United States. Magic Johnson announces he is HIV positive and retires from basketball. And the U.S. Holocaust Museum opens in Washington, D.C.
Earliest to most recent?
Yes, sir.
It's not a black joke.
Oh, so you automatically think I know the magic one.
Okay, I'm locked in.
All right, so Nagano was 98. I'm very confident in that.
Mm-hmm.
64 is either 95 or 96. That was my freshman year in college when it came out. Magic announced in 91. So those three, I'm very confident on.
Mm-hmm.
No idea when the Holocaust Museum is open in D.C.
Well, I have no idea either.
Do we think it was after 1998?
It also could be between 91 and 95.
That's true, too.
It could also be before that.
It could be before 91, too.
Could be after that.
Shut up.
Could have been the early 1900s.
No problem. Well, not
yeah, before the Holocaust actually happened?
I was just waiting.
I was predictive.
I think all these things definitely happened in the 90s. So I'm willing to bet that Magic is first.
Magic is first, then the museum, then the Nintendo? Or Magic, then Nintendo, then the museum?
I think it's Magic, museum,
Nintendo,
Nintendo 64, Nagano. And then...
Yeah, let's do that.
Okay, so we're going to say Magic Johnson, Holocaust Museum, Nintendo 64, and Winter Olympics in Japan.
I went absolutely brain dead when I was answering the question for some reason. In my head, as I was thinking, it's like, Nagano, that's 1968. All right, moving on. I guess I was mixing it up with Seoul or something, but I put Nagano 1, which is completely wrong, because Magic Johnson definitely happened in 90 or 91. And then I had to try and fill in the gap between 1968 and 1991, so that's where I threw the Holocaust. So I said Nagano, the Holocaust Museum, Magic, and then the Nintendo 64, which is absolutely 100% completely and utterly stupid and wrong.
Yeah, you did get that right. Your order. The earliest to happen, 1991, Magic Johnson. 1993, Holocaust Museum. 96, the N64.
Yes!
98, the Winter Olympics.
Good job!
Woohoo! We win!
That's a good feeling. That feels good. That feels really good.
Was that a good enough question?
Yeah. That makes up for your Jethro Tull crap.
All right, guys. What did you wager?
We wagered 15.
15.
15. You finished with 120. I wagered nothing. I finished with 115.
Yes.
Ooh. 120 to 115, Carmella and Ben. You win.
It's like just having warm milk poured over your body, man. It's awesome.
What?
It's not a sensation I'm familiar with.
Has this happened to you, Ben?
No comment.
Was it actually? Never mind.
It was Cambodian breast milk is what it was.
Ooh. Is that from
reference Chappelle's Show?
How much did you have to pay for that?
You want to know, man?
It wasn't in dollars. I put it that way.
It was in doctor's visits.
We had some quid pro quo going on for that.
All right, enough out of you. All right, congratulations, guys. You guys have won the game. And I'm going to have to start rethinking my betting strategy here because lately betting zero is getting me nowhere. Actually, betting zero made me flippant with the answer. So I didn't even think about when Nagano really was. I just locked in really fast. And
I really thought that you were going to try and cover us if we try to beat you by one.
I did think about actually my normal bet there would have been 9, which wouldn't have mattered in this case. But I might have thought harder about it for sure. All right, so I want to give a shout out to our Warhead of the Week. Our Warhead of the Week this week is Caitlin Lewis. Caitlin is Chris's cousin.
Oh, I love Caitlin. Hi, yes, Caitlin.
Caitlin is awesome. And I wanted to make her the Warhead of the Week this week because she has an awesome little side business that I think people should know about. She does graphic design. She designs things like logos and signs and that kind of stuff. Her company is called Inkling Artistry, which is very interesting to me. I decided to do this today, and when I double-checked her company name, literally the ad we ran on a previous show for Katie Sikelski's company was Inkling Trivia. So we have an Inkling Trivia, and now we have an Inkling Artistry. So if you're interested in graphic design work or anything like that,
I have an inkling there's a pattern here.
You can reach out to Caitlin Lewis, our Warhead of the Week, at inklingartistry@AT&T.net. Sweet. Thank you, Caitlin. We appreciate you listening. And you guys ready for some reviews?
Yes.
Sure. Yep.
We're on the trek to 125.
You were at 119 last time I checked?
120.
Oh.
We're at 120.
I didn't check today.
We need 5 more, guys. We need 5 people to step up and put their reviews out there to get in on the trek for 125. We have a review from SmartAlex42. I just have to imagine SmartAlex1 through 41 were already taken, and he settled on SmartAlex42. What do you think?
Or, you know, 42 is the answer to everything. He was being SmartAlex about it.
Oh, it was a Douglas Adams fan. So SmartAlex says, I listen at work and then quote random trivia to my coworkers.
Cool.
Okay. I bet they love that.
Are you saying you don't do that?
I do it all the time.
Yeah, see?
We have a review by Twister76. Oh, by the way, thank you. Thank you, Smart Alex. We have a review by Twister76 who says, very impressed. I went looking for a pub trivia podcast since my old favorite seems to have fallen off the map and stumbled upon Trivial Warfare last week. I enjoyed it so much, I downloaded a bunch of episodes to entertain me on my 8-hour solo road trip yesterday. I listen to most podcasts at night to distract my mind and help me sleep, but this one is too stimulating and has made my daytime rotation shortlist. Keep up the good work.
Thank you very much. That's
awesome. Love that.
These are great to listen to when you're on the road, man. They really are good.
We have a new review by DSmith8601. DSmith says, I love listening to this podcast. I listen while driving, mowing the lawn, etc. Jonathan, Chris, and Carmela's interaction entertains me.
Nice.
Thank you, Dave.
Thank
we
you.
Appreciate you. And last but not least, we have LK Ohe, or it could be LK Ohe, O-H-E-Y.
I'm right. Going to go with hey.
Hey.
Oh, hey, hey.
Hey.
LK Ohe says, keep up the awesome work. You guys are really great. Everyone that's on the show is super entertaining and even more intelligent. This was back when Mark wasn't appearing.
I get that. Thanks. Yeah,
no, I get it. This is one of the best podcasts out there. I appreciate the weekly dose of knowledge as well as some laughs along the way. Thank you, LK.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. We also have some promotions in the Trivial Warfare Army. Our first promotion is to a new lieutenant, Kirsten Ware. Kirsten is a longtime listener, but first time supporter. So thank you so much, Kirsten. We appreciate your support. And we have a new captain, Kevin Kuschel. Kevin, thank you so much, man. As a new captain, we look forward to having you on at some point, and I really do appreciate you. If you're not supporting the show yet, but you're interested in doing so, please head over to patreon.com/TWA. That's patreon.com/TWA. And you can find the ways to donate and the different rewards you get for supporting. All right, guys. So we're about to wrap it up. Do you guys have anything you want to say as the victors of today's show? Any messages you want to put out there? Anything you want to say to me?
So Team Ben and Team Carmella teamed up today.
We did. And I just want to tell listeners, you know, Team Carmella and Team Ben are not mutually exclusive teams. You can be on both teams.
Ben is always recruiting. You realize this?
It's perfectly fine. It's, you know, you don't have to choose.
I'm a member of Team Ben. I mean,
there you go. I'm a member of Team Carmella. It's, you know, we can do some cross-pollination here. It's perfectly acceptable.
That's a little different.
That turned kinky.
I thought that's where he was going in the first place.
Especially after talking about his Cambodian breast milk.
Let me just sigh really loud into the microphone.
All right, guys. We're going to get out of here. Thank you so much for listening. If you want to get a hold of me, you can reach me at trivialwarfare@gmail.com. You can send a warm it up question to Chris at warmitupchris@yahoo.com. And if you want to get in touch with Carmella, you can send an email to twafirstlady@gmail.com.
And if you want to get in touch with Ben, you can send Carmella an email at
because they've been cross-pollinating@gmail.com. All right, guys, we're getting out of here. That is Ben. That's Carmella. That's Mark. And I'm Jonathan. And this has been another episode of Trivial Warfare, where it's not just trivia, it's war. Bye, guys.
Thank you for listening to Trivial Warfare. To learn more about the show and become a warhead yourself, visit TrivialWarfare.com. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes or in any other good podcast app. And find us on Facebook or Twitter by searching Trivial Warfare.
Final category of the round is history. What was the name of the English farmer who invented the seed planting drill in 1701? And as a hint, it is also the name of a Grammy-winning band.
I'm locked in.
The first thing that I thought of made me laugh. I was like, Wilson Phillips.
Oh, dumb.
I have no idea. I'm trying to think of bands that are names, you know, like Wilson Phillips or something like that.
I could not think of any. So I'm thinking like, okay, what are some good common English last names? So
Aerosmith.
Jethro Tull.
You got Smith. You got...
I love Jethro Tull, by the way.
Skinner.
You know, Donaldson and Robertson. And
you're the host. Shut up.
What are some good English last names? Hamilton and Washington.
You're stuck on Hamilton.
Monroe and Jefferson. And I don't have any idea.
Wilson Phillips would be funny, though.
It's a lot better answer than Hootie and the Blowfish.
It's Darius Rucker.
Famous English surname of Hootie. Yeah,
exactly. No, it's Blowfish.
I'm thinking something with the sun in it, like Robertson or Johnson or something like that.
Smokey Robinson. Not a band.
The best guess we've got so far is Wilson Phillips. I can't think of anything better than that. So okay. I say, let's lock in Wilson Phillips.
Well, I know I'm wrong because I guess Jethro Tull, but Mark's already thrown that out as a joke answer, so now I feel like an idiot. Since I'm already wrong, my second guess after you guys were talking was probably the Alan Parsons Project.
Oh.
But
isn't that by a guy named Alan Parsons?
No idea. But I wrote down Jethro Tull.
Well, the funny thing about that question is I inadvertently threw out the right answer.
Oh, you son of...
It is Jethro Tull.
Oh, my God!
That's why I didn't pick that, because he threw it out as an answer.
All right. I think we need a replacement question.
I think we do, too.
We can throw one out there.
I think we can't use that.
You got, John, you got shenanigans on speed dial over there? Because I need to call.
That's going
to
stay in the show, too. I'm leaving that whole thing in.
Yeah, that's an outtake.
I can't even... Yeah, that's going to be the outtake. That's
exactly
right.
Leonard Skinner, because everybody knows that was the PE teacher. I inadvertently looked
you
at
started
it,
throwing
like,
you threw out my answer. I'm like, son of a... And then you threw out another answer. I'm like, dude, quit talking.
I figured if I threw another one out, it wouldn't make me look as stupid for throwing the right one out.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that just went down the...
If it makes you feel better. One time, I was reading Final Clues, and I had forgotten. No, I was reading the Final Clues, and instead of reading up my mixed up version that had them out of order, I was reading them straight from my answer key.
I remember that.
So I read them in order to them. Oh man, I would have gotten another 20 points of separation there. Now you would have. Would you have gone Jethro Tull?
I might have eventually gotten to it. Yeah. But I completely lost my train of thought there because I'm like, oh, he said that loud. There's no way he'd give the answer.
Exactly.
Like a
There's no way he'd do such a thing.
You're like, your next category, Dwight Gooden.
Oh,
he's done all these movies that go into his head.
Oh my gosh. When I had it written down and that's the first name he threw out, I'm like, damn, I thought that was a pretty good answer.
The guy spends 5 minutes on the beach with Dwayne Johnson and Zac Efron, and all of a sudden he thinks.
And actually, that doesn't surprise me that it is Jethro Tull, because the guys who put that band together would have, like, oh, this is a really obscure friggin' name.
And let's throw a flute into it as well.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.